You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday with Wayne McCurry, who is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, suddenly it's the second half of the year, so we've had, since we spoke, we've seen a weekend, a month end, a quarter end, a half year end. How was it for you? How did you assess the whole 6 months that we've just gone through?
Well, 6 months really consists of, I suppose, about four different things. First of all, the all shares slightly positive.
Mm.
But within that, and I suppose that's also normal, within that there were quite a few movements that made up that slight positive. The shares that went up were very focused. It was Richemont, Naspers, and Prosus.
Okay.
That's it. Now, Richemont was up 40%, Naspers and Prosus were up about 20-odd%. The downside was essentially platinum shares.
Hmm.
They were down 30% or 40%. Some of the mining houses, like Anglo American, because of the platinum exposure, was also down, I think, 19% or 20%. Then the banks were between sort of 5% and 10% up. And then the SA retailers were negative. Nothing like the platinum shares, but they were negative. So that really was the quarter. The Rand actually ended up very much where it started the year.
Yes.
It wasn't that far off.
Okay, now the platinum shares, you use that weakness to start to nibble away and build a
yes.
position. That's what you indicated publicly, so I'm not giving
yes.
away any secrets
Definitely.
Here. And you're
yep.
continuing to do so?
Yes. The platinum shares offer tremendous value longer term. They really do.
Yeah.
So whether they go down and test the lows again or go even lower, I don't know. But on the medium, sort of medium to longer term, they're very, very good value. They truly are.
So
this is the opportunity that you get to go and actually buy the platinum shares.
Okay, so you've been single commodity specific here. I mean, obviously the PGMs are not single commodities. There's platinum and palladium
yeah.
and rhodium
and everything
else.
I'm positive on all commodities.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm positive on all commodities medium term. You know, copper, coal, oil, iron ore. We're in a commodity down cycle, and you know, now's the time when you would actually go and buy these shares.
Okay, so commodity tick. Okay, not yielding. I mean, at one stage you were probably making decent money, but they came back again because they had a little bit of a flurry. Okay, are you going to add
yeah.
other commodities to the platinum group metals exposure that you have? Well, not gold. Let's leave gold out of it. But what about diversified miners like Anglo, Billiton, Glencore, etc.?
We've got diversified as well.
Hmm. Okay, so it's a general commodity.
We've probably got more in diversified. Yeah, we've got more in diversified than what we've got in platinum.
Naspers Prosus, you mentioned those. They did well along with Richemont. Do you hold any of those
yeah.
shares, Richemont, Naspers, Prosus?
Oh, thank goodness we own quite heavy overweight positions in all three of them. So we did quite well.
Very nice. Okay.
Especially Richemont. Large position in Richemont, which paid off very nicely for us, thank goodness.
You work for a bank or you work for a giant banking financial services group. Banks up 5% to 10%, whichever bank you pick. Some doing better than others. You're sticking with that because
yeah.
you've always loved banks, Wayne.
Yeah, look, we are sticking with it. Thank goodness we didn't, once again, our luck, we didn't own any Capitec because that was the only real negative, the disappointment in the banks.
Hmm.
We're not that hugely overweight banks. But we have got a slight overweight positions, and we're going to stick with that. I mean, you're getting banks now. Let's not take my bank, because it's always difficult for me to talk about my bank.
That's okay. So what we're talking about here is your bank being the First Rand Group. I mean, you're part of,
yeah.
of FNB.
But people always think when I say First Rand's cheap, I'm punting it, or they're paying me to say that. Or if I say it's too expensive, I might get fired. So I don't normally talk about my banks, but let's talk about Standard Bank, okay?
Righto.
When we look at all the trading updates, other than Capitec, all the trading updates for the big banks are all positive. They're going to show 10, 15% earnings growth quite comfortably for the year end or the 6 months to June. So in other words, the historic price earnings ratio we're talking about now will actually fall next time they report, and the dividend yield will go up. So Standard Bank is a classic example. It's an 8.5 price earnings ratio with an 8% dividend yield. And that doesn't happen often, that the dividend yield and the price earnings ratio are more or less the same in top quality, high quality shares. It just doesn't happen often at all. So, you know, why not? It still looks good value because the banks, the earnings aren't under pressure despite the higher bad debts that they're all experiencing. The earnings aren't under pressure.
Which is remarkable considering the state of the South African economy. So, these really are lean, mean fighting machines, these banks. They've done so well. And if the South African economy ever does turn around because of a commodity boom or something, then they're going to do extremely well, both from the retail perspective and the corporate perspective. Okay. The next six months, Wayne, is going to be very much, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is going to be defined by the price of money, led by the US Federal Reserve and then China, turn around, hopefully, in the Chinese economy, which is under extreme pressure at the moment. So the price of money, i.e. interest rates and inflation, are going to define the period between now and the end of the year. Would you not say that's the case?
Yeah. Well, that's in fact always the case. You know, that never changed. The price of money actually defines everything. And the inflation cycle and the money cycle actually do define virtually everything in investments. I think the next 6 months is going to bring better news than the first 6 months. Because personally, I think we're going to see a definitive downward move in inflation. Yes. We're not going back to the overseas, you know, in the major economies. We're not going back to the COVID levels. But I think we're going to see a continued and maybe even a sharper fall in inflation. And, you know, when you think, I mean, you live in the Nederland there.
I do.
You know, inflation is not baked into the system, man. Now, you've had 40 years of low and controlled inflation, and now all of a sudden 1.5 years of high inflation. It's not baked into people's psyche. It's not part of the system. So I think it'll fall out of the system almost as quickly as it came into the system because it is such an abnormality, this very high inflation. So I think the next 6 months will be better. Whether we see an interest rate cut in the next 6 months, that I personally think it could happen, but there's a very high probability that they'll only start the beginning of next year, but they are coming.
Yeah, well, the United States of America, I mean, they're all going in different directions. China's cutting. America at the moment is flat. The Eurozone and the Bank of England are raising. So they're going in different directions. Eventually, they'll sort of find some sort of level and they'll all come together. But yes. You talk about the next 6 months, potentially a cut right at the end, maybe from the United States. But has the market, in other words, the stock market, have stock market participants already factored that in? They've and that is why this. There was a good performance from the United States over the last 6 months. Look at the NASDAQ up nearly 32%, for example.
Well, the NASDAQ's coming off a low base, so that's a bit of an exception to the rule because they took a pounding last year. Mm-hmm. But yes, the market is anticipating lower inflation stroke lower interest rates.
And you don't change your policy given your view on interest rates. You've said we're in a commodity down cycle at the moment, but that will bounce back. And platinum shares with 30-40% losses over the period present great value. It doesn't matter what interest rates do. You just say the interest rate cycle is important, but the commodity cycle will go on its own. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the commodity cycle's tied into the interest rate cycle. That will only recover when interest rates are cut. You know, it's all one cycle. It's all tied in together. You know, so if you take an economic cycle with interest rates going up and down, the economy follows that and the commodity cycle follows that. In commodities, there's also some supply side, you know, constrictions or excess supply. But by and large, you know, 80% of commodity prices are driven by demand, not by supply. So the interest rate cycle and the commodity cycle and the economic growth cycle and the inflation cycle is all one cycle. And the stock market, if it's right, and it's not always right, but if it's right, the stock market will anticipate that cycle or the change in that cycle, whether up or down, a year to 18 months before that. Mm. So there is only one cycle, but the stock market looks forward, it anticipates that. So in other words, when things are really bad, the stock market actually might start rallying, because in theory, the stock market predicted things becoming bad a year before it actually happened. In other words, when interest rates start to go up and start to rise and get near the top, that's when you got to worry about the stock market. And when interest rates fall and get, when interest rates are at the top and start to actually come down a little bit, that's when you should start buying the share market. And then obviously then the next part of the cycle is interest rates will trough and start to turn up again. And that's when you should consider selling the stock market. So the stock market, it's all one cycle, but the stock market anticipates it. So it's almost, you must do almost the opposite of what you feel. So when things are good, you should sell the stock market. And when things are bad, you should buy the stock market.
Okay, and that's what you've been doing. Good. Yeah. The other thing when it comes to commodities is the China cycle. That has to be important. My opinion is that they stocked up so much that they're just reducing those stockpiles now. And they're probably licking their wounds because of paying higher prices a couple of years ago. But they will start to have to restock. And I think that'll be the key.
And of course, even though, even though China is moving towards a, let's call it a consumption-driven market, in other words, internal consumption, export is still a major, major part of their economy. It's not as big as what it was, but it is still certainly a very big part of their economy. And if the Western nations start to pick up on the back of lower economic growth, they'll start to export more, which will also push up their growth.
Right. Let's hope that the recent interest rate cut and maybe subsequent easing from the Chinese monetary authorities will boost the economy and your commodity play will start to bear fruits, maybe not in the next 6 months, but certainly next year. And I know you're in for the long haul. Wayne, quite quiet today on the JSE. We had the US holiday yesterday, so there's not much happening at all. But on the food front, I remember about 6 weeks ago, I said it's now mussel season in the Netherlands. Yes. You know, there's lots of mussel farms near where I live, a little bit close to the seaside. And now we've got the nieuwe harding season, new herring. Because around about this time of year, the herrings are the right size and out go the fishing boats and they're allowed to catch herring. Now, what happens is they bring these herrings in and they clean them up and you'll see these stalls. You know, someone comes along with a car towing one of those sort of pop-up places and they open it up and they sell the new herrings. Now, what happens is they clean up the herrings, they gut them and everything, but they're raw. Okay, so you go up there and it'll be 3 for €8 or 2 for €6. I went out to my local stall here with a queue. There was a big queue and I bought 2 for €6 because I can't eat too many of these things. They are completely raw. They've got a very, very fine skin on the outside and they leave the tail on. So they smother them in onions, chopped onions, and you pick it up by the tail and you tilt your head back and you pop this thing in and munch away. Now, it's not for everybody, I have to say. The texture would put a lot of people off. The taste would appall many people. But I do it because it's a Dutch tradition. I had my first two new herrings of the season. I get the sense that you're probably not into that.
No. Look, I've never actually tried herring raw like that. But the idea of smothered in onions actually adds quite a bit to the appeal, I must say.
So delicious, yeah.
You know, I've had what's the raw fish ceviche?
Yes, it's like a Peruvian raw dish, yeah, where you slice something up and they say they cook it in lime juice. They smother it in lime juice and that's
sort
of
lime juice, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
And they put lots of onions on it. Now I've had that and I quite enjoyed it. So I'm not too sure how herring, what the taste like compares to that.
Not even close. This is a proper Dutch dish. You know, the Dutch are good at a lot of things, but they're not good at food. So when you know you're queuing for a raw herring, then things are pretty desperate. But I enjoy it. I like the idea of this fish a couple of days ago swimming in the North Sea. But no, not for me, really. Not every day.
I've never tried that one, no.
Well, next time you're here, come and visit me and we'll do it. I have to wash it down with a couple of things afterwards, I think. But any food stories from your side, Wayne?
Yeah, what's that nice dark beer from Belgium, Leffe?
Oh, yeah, Leffe is very, very good, yes, and it's very popular here. It's just across the border, obviously, but Leffe beer is a real favourite. You can get it in most pubs, even on tap, actually.
Yeah, it's actually a very, very nice beer, that. You know, look, I've got a food story. Mm. At the moment, the world's biggest rugby fan is not feeling so well.
He's why is that? What's wrong with
cold.
That?
Oh. I know, just a cold.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, she didn't which wasn't feeling so well, as I said,
yes.
And she didn't want to have any supper. So she had made some mince, and we were going to have tacos. So we make mince, and then you add all the chopped onions and peppers and
yes.
corn and all the vegetables into it. And then we've got a little sauce that goes with the tacos, and you put some cashew nuts in there, and it's delicious. But she said that she's not that keen on this because she's not feeling well, and I must just make it for myself. So I said, fine, that's no problem. And then as I was about to start making it, she says, you know what I feel like? I feel like mince with chopped onions with a little bit of gravy on it and rice.
Okay.
So I said, well, if that's what you feel like, we'll eat that. So we just chopped up some onions, fried it in the pan. The mince was already cooked. Chucked the mince in the pan. We had a packet of gravy that we just mixed up with water and put that all in the pan and cooked up some rice and ate it, and it was truly delicious. It sounds so simple.
Very good.
But it was actually on a cold winter's night. It was nice and warm. You know, the rice was nice and hot. Everything was nice and hot. And we ate it, and it was actually delicious. So I said that, you know, thank goodness you are feeling a bit sick and felt like this, because we've discovered a very tasty sort of new addition to our cooking repertoire.
Very good indeed. And that's so weird, because yesterday morning I said, well, the weather's turned here, and it became quite cold, 12, 13 degrees, rainstorm and wind and thunder and everything. So I thought, you know what I want? I really want a really good bowl of chili. So I went to buy a packet of mince, some red onions, chilies, garlic, etc., red peppers and orange peppers. And they did all that business, you know, fried up the peppers and the onion and the garlic and the chilies, and then added the mince to it and kept it going. A tin of chopped Italian tomatoes went in, and I cooked it for a little while. And then the key point here is I bought a rump steak, a really good rump steak from the butcher. I chopped it up into chunks, and I sort of browned it on either side and put the... In addition to the beef mince, I put in the rump steak chunks as well. And this thing cooked for around about 2 hours. It wasn't quite hot enough, so I added another red fresh chili. And after about 4 hours, Wayne, this thing was ready. So,
yeah, it was right.
So then I turned it down and let it cool off, and I made some guacamole, 2 avocados, lime juice, a little bit of chopped onion, some chopped coriander, a little bit of chopped tomatoes as well. Mixed that all up into a guacamole, got out a big bowl, and it was steaming, and then I dolloped the guacamole on the top. And I tell you what, that's the dinner of kings.
That does sound delicious.
It was absolutely superb, and I've got some left for tonight. So I've had my herrings for lunch, and I'm going to have the leftover chili. Oh, the other thing, which I got from Jamie Oliver, you put a teaspoon of ground coffee into it, and that adds something. I don't know. He was on an American road trip, and he was in Texas, and they taught him to do that. And I have to say, it does add it. So please, next time you make chili, don't forget the coffee.
I must think about that. I'm not a fan of coffee in food. Like, I don't like tiramisu. I don't like coffee-flavored desserts. I'm not a fan of coffee in food.
Just
remember
a small
a long
amount.
Time ago,
Go on.
Okay, I will possibly think about it. I remember many years ago, it was very favorable to have chili-flavored chocolate on your steak.
Oh, yes.
And I also didn't like mixing chocolate with steak there either.
So, I agree. Yeah,
that didn't work well for me.
All right, well, give it a try. Just a small amount, a really good, small amount, almost like half a teaspoon, and put it in there. But if you add that chunk of rump steak or whatever steak it is, really good steak that you've cooked, because
it
melts, it's beautiful. Anyway, Wayne, thank you very much for your time this evening. As always, Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. And that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.